Well, good morning, church. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Eric Gill. I get the privilege to work here with the high schoolers. Now, just wondering, we just got done with the holidays, and I'm wondering how many of us got the thing that we wanted for Christmas. Maybe it was the AirPods or, you know, I don't know what people want, money, a car, an F-150, if you're anything like me, which I didn't get. But we just experienced the holiday of Christmas, and I hope that you guys had a good one where you spend it with your family, your friends, and the loved ones. But as we conclude this series on Restore, I would like to start with this question. When was the last time that you marvel at something? And when I say marvel, I don't mean for you to simply look at something and be like, oh yeah, that's cool. Oh wow, okay, now let's move on. But for you to take the time to look at something or someone and appreciate all that there is about them and all of those things that they could mean to you. When was the last time that you marvel at something? For me, it had been a while since I marveled at something, but it wasn't until November 25th where I had an opportunity to marvel once again. My wife was, we thought that she had broke water. She was pregnant. We thought that she had broke water. So we went to the hospital rushing and thinking that she had broke it. But inside of us, we were thinking, now that didn't happen. So anyways, we show up there. And when we get to the hospital, they do all the studies that they have to do. And we find out that our baby was indeed a breech baby, which means that the head was up or, you know, whatever you want to say. Anyways, we show up there. And then because she was a breech baby, we realized that we had to go into a C-section, which we were not expecting it. So I remember that in a matter of 20 minutes, since the doctor showed up into the hospital, they changed my clothes, they had me all dressed up, and they took us into the surgery room to get the baby out of my wife. What was funny about it, or what was ironic about it, is that it was not what I expected it to be. It was not at all. I have expected this giving birth to be something magical or something special. But then I show up to this room, and for whatever reason, it was not what I imagined it to be. It was completely chaos. You have my wife and laying on a table. At least I thought it was a table. She was open. You had the doctors around her. It did not look like Grey's Anatomy. Not that I watched it, but it didn't look like that. Then I had a doctor, a nurse right here who kept talking. I don't know if that was her job just to talk or whatever, but she kept talking. And then you have another nurse over here who was just sitting on a computer. And I don't get it. I didn't know. And then the whole room was white to make it even more interesting. So I remember walking into that room, and I was completely distracted by everything that was going on. And so they grabbed me. They take me to my wife. They sit me by her. And I'm there supposedly to encourage her and to make sure that I'm being a good moral support for her. But in my head, I'm telling myself, Eric, don't pass out. Eric, don't pass out. Eric, don't pass out. And so then I hear the cry of the baby. They finally got her out of the belly. Now, this may not be a popular opinion, but I do believe that every baby from the time they're born to one more old, they're all ugly. So when they brought that baby out, I kid you not, I saw that baby. My first thought was, oh no, ¿qué hemos hecho? Which means, oh no, what have we done? And so I remember that I looked at her, and she was all purple. She had saliva all over her mouth. Her hairs were all wrinkled. And like I said, she was a breech baby, so her legs were behind her ears. So it was not the most pretty picture. And in my head, I'm like, take her back. Just take her back. Don't record this. But anyways, they give her to the nurse. And I remember that after they clean her up and they got her ready, something interesting happened. The moment they handed her to me and I hold her for the very first time, my whole world changed. From that very moment, I was able to give her all of my attention. And by looking at her, I was able to appreciate everything that she meant to me and everything that she was going to mean to me. I knew from that moment on that I was going to love that baby for the rest of my life. See, it took for me to not let the distractions or anything happen in the room to give her that attention, to finally marvel at her. And that is where this idea of margins comes into play. What I have come to realize in my life and in the life and what I see in the scripture is that without margins in our lives, we're going to have a difficult time to marvel at God. So if you don't know what margins is, it's kind of hard of a, it's kind of a weird word to use because margins has so many different definitions. And maybe you have heard how we are announced beforehand, hey, we're going to be teaching on margins on December 29th. And in your head, you're like, what is going on? I can't picture what can be taught about margins. And I get it. I'm teaching and I didn't know at first what it was margins about. But then I started doing some studies and I found out that the most general definition of margin is going to be this one, is the margins are the edge or border of something. I realized that margins are just a fancy word for boundaries. So the definition that we're going to be using today for the sake of the message is this one, is that margins are the boundaries that we put in place to help us in making sure that things go the way that they are and that there is order. That is the definition we're going to be using today. So as we jump into the passage, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke 10. We're going to be looking at the story that is familiar to us. As we're looking at this story, we're going to see how margins are important for us. Now, if you bear with me and consider this, if there's something special about margins that allows a person to appreciate things more. For instance, if you like to read or you have a journaling Bible, you will come to the conclusion that the smaller the margins are, the more quick you're going to be to read through the letters or read through the pages. But there is something special about having a bigger margin. That the moment that you have a book or you have a Bible and you have a bigger margin, when you read something that speaks to you, when you read something that the Lord used to speak to you or something that you like that calls your attention, what we are more prone to take notes and to appreciate those things. That's the effect of margins. Margins allows a person to enjoy things more and to appreciate them. So let's look at a story in verse 38. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me then.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" So this is a story that the majority of us have heard. It's a story that has been preached many times. But what I want us to see at it is how we can take some principles regarding margins. And the first thing I want us to see is that good things in life, good things without margins, can lead you and me to be distracted, can become a distraction. What we see in the story, before we get it so quickly into accusing Martha of all the things that she was doing, all the things that she did wrong, I want us to point out that what Martha was doing were good things. They were good things in nature. See, the first thing we see in verse 38, it says, "And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." It was Martha, the one who had the initiative to go out of her way to invite Jesus into her home. It wasn't Mary. It was Martha. That was a good thing. And the second thing we see here is in verse 40. It says, Martha was doing much serving. See, it wasn't necessarily Mary who was doing the serving. It was Martha. And before we get so critical about Martha, I want to point out that anyone in her position would have done that same thing. Just consider the holidays. Maybe you had the opportunity to host family or friends. If that was the case with you, just remember how you wanted to make sure that everything in your home was ready and set. Now, those things are good things in nature, but they become a bad thing, or they become a distraction when they take our attention away from what's really important. See, the serving that Martha was doing took her attention from God. Now, we can look at this story and accuse Martha of doing the same, but I think, I find myself doing the very same thing. You see, I come to church and I tell myself that Sunday is going to be the time that I'm going to dedicate to sit under the teaching of God's word, that I'm going to listen to him and what he has to say, and I'm going to learn and grow in my relationship with him. And yet, when I come here at church, I find myself being distracted by so many things. See, there are two kinds of distractions. There are good and bad distractions. Bad distractions are easy because they're bad in nature. We know that they're bad and we can easily identify them. And when they do come and catch us by surprise, because they're bad, we will know. But the ones that tend to be more dangerous are the ones that are good distractions. Those things that are good in nature, that when they're out of context, when they're out of place, they become a distraction. For instance, I wonder if we were to collect these bullet things every week, how often will we get the question, what are we doing for lunch? I mean, I can't be the only one who has done it that writes down here to my wife, hey, what are we doing for lunch? I mean, for whatever reason, we find this time that we're here sitting under the gas station, and we want to answer this monumental question. Are we going to Chipotle or Fogon? Like, I can't be the only one who does that. But that's the time that it's interesting to me that it's during the time that we're supposed to be sitting at Jesus' feet, or we're supposed to be listening to him and learning from him, that all of this good distractions thing is taking place. And what is even more interesting to me is that if that happens to us on Sunday, which is the time that we set apart for Jesus or for our time to learn in our relationship with God, how much more do we need margins throughout the week when we don't necessarily are consistent or making sure we have margins? See, good things without margins can lead us to be a distraction. The second thing I want us to see is that good things without margins will lead us to be bitter at God and others. If you go with me in the story, look at verse 40. It says, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. So three things happens here. In verse 39, it says that Jesus was teaching. So the first thing that we see happening here is that Martha is going to go and interrupt Jesus. She goes and interrupts Jesus. Jesus is at her home, teaching something that was special for them, something that was unique for them. Otherwise, we would have had some record of what he was saying, but we don't. And so it's safe to assume that what Jesus was saying was something specific for those people in that room. And instead of listening to Jesus, and instead of sitting by him, she goes and interrupts him. And then I wonder, how often do we do that even here at church or even in our life in a regular basis, that God is teaching us something or God is doing something in our life, and we think that what we are dealing with or what we have going on is more pressing than the things that he has to do for us. And so we, in a figurative way, we interrupt him. The second thing we see here is that she goes to Jesus and accuses him of not caring. Look what he says. He says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one who has been performing miracles over and over, who has the power of healing the sick, of resurrecting the dead, he is sitting in her living room, and she is more concerned about all the things that she's doing, and she's thinking that that same Jesus doesn't care about her and her needs at all. And then I wonder, how often do we have the same response with Jesus or with God, where we think that we get so caught up on our own things, we get so caught up in all the things that we're dealing and wrestling with, and we dare to question God and say, God, do you even care about me? God, do you even love me? God, do you even see me where I am today and where I am right now? And we forget the fact that we are the ones who put ourselves in that position, that all alone Jesus was just right there for us, that God was just right there for us. And we just ignore it. And the last thing that she does is that Martha implies that Mary was being lazy by saying at the end of that verse, tell her to help me. So Martha is looking at Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, and she's asking Jesus to have her get up. In other words, she's implying to Jesus that, look, my sister is just a lazy bump. She's sitting at your feet while I'm caught up in all of those things. What I have realized is that when we don't have margins in our life, we're going to be bitter at God, but even sometimes even bitter at other people. We live in a culture that is constantly encouraging us to live a life like Martha. And what I mean by this is that we live in a culture that is constantly encouraging you and me to be busy, where we say that the busier that we are, the more successful we're going to be. And that idea of busyness is so present in our culture that even when we're not busy, we want to make sure that we look as if we're busy. And so what it does to us is that we become critical of other people, because we think that the load that we have, we think that the business that we have, the things that we're doing is more important or is higher than what everyone else is doing. And so when someone don't meet our standard, when someone come and don't come to our level of standard, we criticize them or we look down on them because they're not as busy as we are. And so we become bitter. When we are bitter of God and we are bitter of other people, it's going to be very difficult for us to be able to marvel at God. It's going to be very difficult for us to be able to appreciate who God is and what he has done for us. The third thing we see here is that when we don't have margins in our life, good things can produce unnecessary stress and anxiety. Look at verse 41. But the Lord said to Martha, 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 you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Jesus is not saying to Martha, Martha, all the things that you have done are wrong things. He's saying to Martha, Martha, you have caught up yourself with so many things, but at this moment, only one thing is necessary, me. And what we do is sometimes is that when we don't have Martha's in our life, we forget that the busier that you and I are, the more we need of Jesus. We forget that so easily, that the busier you and I are, more we are in much of a need of him. And so we see in the story that Jesus is going to remind Martha, hey, you're caught up in so many things, but one thing is necessary right now. Remember our definition of margins. Margins are the things, are the boundaries that we put in place to help us with order in making sure that things go the way that they're supposed to go. So when we don't have margins, we don't have order. When we don't have order, we have chaos. And when we have chaos, we have stress and anxiety. Maybe the reason why you don't see God working in your life is because of your lack of margins in your life. There are areas in your life that you need to set some margins, some boundaries to protect you, to help you in those areas. And because you haven't done those things, you may have a difficult time seeing God working in your life. For some of us, maybe what we need for margins are in the areas of finances. Our finances are a mess. They're all over the place. They're not going how they're supposed to go. They are chaotic. And because of that, we now have now stress and anxiety. For others, it may be our relationship with our people, the people that we have in our life, our friends, our husbands, our wives, our kids. They're out of order. They're chaotic. And because of that, we have stress and anxiety. And the list can go on and on. But nevertheless, it's so clear to us today is that when we don't have margins, unnecessary things will become unnecessary. That is why it's so important for us to make sure that we set boundaries in our life, in every area of our life that could help us in making sure that we do this, that things go the way that they're supposed to and that things go in order. Because only then we're going to be able to marvel of God and appreciate him for who he is and what he has done. The last thing we see here is that good things without margins will lead us to miss out on the things that matter. So in the story, two things happen. The first thing we see, like I said in verse 39, it says that Jesus was teaching. See, that was supposed to be a very intimate moment for them. And so because Martha didn't have any set of margins at that moment, she missed out on an opportunity to have an intimate time with Jesus. See, when you and I don't have margins in our life, we're going to miss out on things that are intimate, not only in our relationship with Jesus, but even sometimes in our relationship with people in our life. That's why margins are so important, because they allow us, they help us in setting an opportunity where we can appreciate things more. So what we see here is that Martha missed out on an opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus and to learn from him. But because of her lack of margins, she wasn't able to do that. And you and I are as capable of making that same mistake. You and I are as capable of making that mistake of coming to church or even whenever we set our time to learn from God or to read his word, and we get so distracted by good things that we're going to miss out on that intimate time that we can have with Jesus. But that can even be applied in our relationship with our friends and our spouses and our kids, that we can get so caught up in things in our life that we can miss out on some intimate times with them. And the second thing we see here in the story is that she missed out on the better things. Like I said, it says here in verse 42, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not take you away from her. He said, Mary has chosen the good portion, which is me, Jesus, time with me. See, that was the better thing. The things that Martha was doing were good things. But the better thing at that moment was Jesus. And because she didn't have any margins in her life, she missed out on the better things. And in the same way, we are subjectable to that theme as well. When we don't have margins in our life, we're going to miss out on the better things, on the things that are more important than just the good things. And that could mean our relationship with God, but that can also mean our relationship with people. See, we go a whole week living like Martha's. And we think that 1 hour of church living like Mary will even things out. Parents, we think that what our kids need is for us to be Mary for them, Martha for them. And we get so caught up being Martha for our kids that we forget that maybe the thing that our kids need right now is for us to be Mary with them. Husbands or wives, we can get so caught up in serving our spouses, in making sure that our finances are great, making sure that everything at home is taken care of, and we forget the fact that maybe what our marriage needs right now is for us to be married to each other. And then even all of us, we can get so caught up in doing everything by ourselves that we forget the fact that we have a relationship with Jesus and that we can enjoy the blessing of that relationship. See, in this story, in this world, the culture encourages us to live like Martha. But in this story, what we see is that Jesus is encouraging you and me to live more like Mary. And so as we consider this idea of margins, I want us to make sure that we understand that this is more important to us than what we make them to be. Margins are more important to us than what we make them to be. This is something that we could easily dismiss it. This is something that we could easily be like, yeah, I've done that, or we could easily just do it for a month. But this is something that all of us need in our life, because only through margins in our life, we're going to be able to truly marvel at God and appreciate who he is and what he has done for us. So as we conclude with this, I want to end with this verse of Psalms, Psalms 27. It's a psalm by David, and he's going to say this. In this psalm, he's going to tell us three things. He's going to say to us that his desire for him is to dwell in the house of the Lord, that he cannot wait to enjoy the blessing of contemplating at the beauty of Jesus and to seek him in his temple. Look at verse 4. It says, "One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire on his temple. See, the one thing that David wanted was to marvel at God. He wanted to enjoy those things about him. See, maybe the reason why we have such a difficult time as believers is because we don't take enough time to marvel at God, to appreciate him and to love him and to be thankful for all the things that he does for us. And maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're here because someone invited you to see baptism. Let me tell you, you were not designed to live in a world by yourself where you have to take care of everything by yourself and you're there left out. You have been designed so you can have a relationship with the Savior of this world, Jesus Christ, who loves you so much that he died on the cross for you, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. That is the blessing of a relationship with him, that you're not supposed to do it all alone, but through the sacrifice and believing in him, you can enjoy that blessing. And so in a second, as we transition into the baptism, this is a great opportunity for us to put margin, to put stuff aside, and to set some margins for us to be able to look at this baptism and contemplate at the beauty of the fact that there is a God in heaven that has the power of transforming life. And the same God that transformed the life of the people that are going to be getting in the water has the same power to transform your life and my life. And if you're not here today, the story that you are going to be hearing here tonight, if you're not saved and you're here today, the same stories that are going to be said could be said about you. You also could experience that freedom. So as we conclude with that, let us again remember the importance of margins and not be so quick to dismiss it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the fact that we can come to church and we can come here and worship you and learn about you, Lord. I pray, Father, that the things that we have learned about you, this idea of margins, Lord, that we will take it more seriously, Lord, that we will look at the margins and we will look at our lives, Lord, examine our life and look at the areas that we need to place margins, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will bring those things to mind, Lord, that you will bless us, Lord, and that we will be diligent in making sure that things go the way that they're supposed to go, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will allow us to have opportunities where we can just simply marvel at you, God. Thank you for all the things that you do. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.